4. Before I begin, I do want to just thank you for praying for us these last 2 weeks and before. This morning, I'm going to just, share with you my testimony of what God has done in my life in these last days, these last several days. I had told somebody already this, but I had made a statement. I've actually made it repeatedly for a little while now. I said I'd be glad when 2017 is over with. And in my flesh, I feel like I understand that. And in my flesh, I feel like in some ways it's somewhat justified. It feels as though 2017 came in with one thing after the other, and it seems like we've been busy. But God has convicted me of that, and I had to repent of that position and realize that His way is best, and always. And I was reading Psalms 4, and I just want to give you some thoughts here and hope it'll be encouragement to you as it has been to me. And we'll begin by reading the entire psalm. David says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. I will lay me down in peace. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the peace that you give. We thank you for comfort. We thank you for your many blessings. And we thank you for this day that you have given us. And we thank you for this time together. We just ask you to bless it. And we trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reminded when I begin to read this chapter of how personal it is. The first words say, "Hear me." And "when I call." And I'm reminded that this is being written by somebody who had a personal relationship with Christ and with God, and that he had a confidence. He says, "O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." That's a voice of experience. That's a voice that has come through trials. That's a voice that has already tried and God has already proven himself to that person. He's got confidence that once again, if he asks of God, that God is going to provide. And you know, that's easy to forget. It has been for me. That's easy to forget in the midst of trials. But I have been reminded over and over and over again in these last 2 weeks that in the midst of trials, God gives blessing, and so many blessings. This voice of confidence it comes, I believe, not only from experience, but from an experience from a personal relationship. And I think that is important. And then I see the other word I see here is distress. You know, there's going to be many people, things, circumstances of life, there's going to be many, many times that we are in distress, that we feel, because we are flesh, right? It's going to happen. Every mountaintop experience, somebody once said, has two valleys. You know, the one you got to go through to get to it, and then the one that you go through coming down off from it. And that's something that I'm reminded of. But he says, have mercy. Mercy. You know, I'm so thankful today for the mercy of God, because life is difficult. Those distresses do come. And we do often fail the test that God gives us. But in God's mercy, I'm so thankful that God is rich in mercy. He's not looking to just utterly destroy me at every era. But he is compassionate, that he is long-suffering. He is a merciful God, and it's a tremendous encouragement, especially when you're going through a time that you feel is a time of failure, or that you feel is a time of struggle, and his mercy. But I see here in this verse that he's asking for help. He finds himself in a position of help. I believe, it's my understanding, if we was to study this, I believe that we will find that at the time there is a war. David, it's a time when they are at battle, that there's a war going on. But the biggest battle, the war that I see in this passage, is the war or the struggle that is going on within him. He's upon his bed, and he's contemplating his trial, his inward battle, if you will, the battle that happens within. And so many times do we do that, do we not? Do you ever sit and really struggle with some things? Really struggle with your thoughts? Struggle with decisions that we have to make, or struggle with the circumstances that we find ourselves in? Whether it be our the physical aspect of those circumstances, or rather it be the spiritual aspect of those things. But we struggle with those. We ponder those. We mull those over in our heart and our mind, and we're trying to and sometimes even to the point of worry. You know, to the point of worry. What worry about this? Worry about. And when it comes down to it, we find ourselves worrying about the things that God actually wants to work in and do something with, and that we really don't have any control over anything. We have no control over these circumstances or these situations. And I'm reminded that the devil is always present, and this is what's going on in David's turmoil. He says in verse 2, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? There's always going to be the naysayers. There's always going to be the ungodly influence. There's always going to be the one that says the cup is half empty. There's always going to be the one who will be quick to support you as you dwell on the negative aspect of it. As I said, when I made that statement, I'd be glad when 2017 is over with. I've actually had people support me in that position, because I said it more than once, and they said, "Well, that's understandable. That's this. That's that." No, it's not. See, that's a sons of men position. That's a sons of men support. That's not necessarily the position where God wants the situation to be, or where He wants me to be. In that situation, he says, how long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? That leasing just simply means something that's untrue, something that's not right. And we have the truth, we have the foundation, we have God, we have access to all truth, and there's no place for us to dwell or to turn to the support of deceit and those positions that the sons of men would encourage us in. I fell in love with a young, I say young, lady down there these last 2 weeks. Her name is Audrey. And I remember her. I would go out and give her a hug every morning, most nights around supper time. And she was complaining to me one night because she didn't like the looks of the table. She was very thoroughly disgusted with the amount of food that got put on the table. And I said, "Well, I don't know, Audrey. It looks pretty good to me. It's fish." "Well, where's the fried clams?" she says. And I said, "You like fried clams?" And I said, and she said, "Oh, I love fried clams." She said, I said, "Well, if I brought you some in, would we get in trouble?" "Yes, we probably would." She says, "We probably would get in trouble." And I said, that night I inquired of the head nurse as to whether or not I would get in trouble if I brought her some fried clams, because I'm thinking there's dietary restrictions and whatnot, that wherever there's doctors, there's always some dietary restriction. So I figured that was going to be the case. But they said, "No, she has no problem swallowing, and she's on no dietary restrictions. She can eat whatever she wants." So I sent Lynn out that next night to get her some fried clams. She was very, very happy, and we enjoyed that. But she said something one night. The nurse was telling her what to do all the time, telling her what to do. She said, "Honey," she says, "that's okay." She says, "Thank you very much. I love you. I love you. I love you because you tell me when I do right and you tell me what I do wrong," she said. And that's kind of what I feel here, you know, is that, that's the advantage and the benefit that we have in Christ. He tells us through the Spirit of God what we do right, and he tells us what we do wrong. And that's what I feel that this is. And we have the benefit of the guiding and the direction of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us. And it's just a matter of listening to that and yielding to that. Verse 3 says, "But know that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Once again, I see confidence. And I see something that is important in this asking. He's saying that he knows. He knows. The confidence that the Lord has set him that is godly for himself. You know, sometimes we feel buried in our circumstance, and that's a position that in our flesh we can very easily find ourselves in. We can feel buried, but the Lord convicted me of something, and I realized that what we may view as a burying, God may view as a planting, and that's just where we're at. I would have never imagined in my life that I would spend at 57 years of age 2 weeks in a nursing home. I just never would have figured that. And when my mom went into the nursing home, I never figured that I would spend the night there. They didn't really accommodate for that. It was not a thought in my mind at all. And my mom and her Alzheimer's, and as you all know, she could be agitated easily. Didn't even have to be provoked. She just could be agitated. There was at one point she was actually slapping the nurses. She was hitting them. She was becoming that way. And I thought, wow, you know, and it broke my heart, and I approved certain medication to try to keep her calm and whatnot. And what God gave me in this last 2 weeks, being there day in and day out with those nurses, was the testimony that my mom had, even in the midst of that. Her music that those nurses were making a point, and have been making a point, to make sure that her music was playing. And they, after they get done caring for her, they'd always turn it on, and it was like that. And they know that they're like she wanted the old hymns, and made a point. The activities director was making a point to do that. But the thing that impressed me most was the nurses that would come to visit. After they would punch out, they would come to visit. They would come on their 10-minute break to visit. There was nursing, the opportunities that I had. There was a housekeeper that came in to sweep the floor one day, and I got to talking to her about if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And I was able to give her my mother's testimony. And about 3 hours later, she came back with a little rock that had painted on it the word hope, and gave that to me. And the opportunities, God gave me more opportunities to share the gospel in the last 2 weeks than I have had in the last 2 months. And it was just amazing to see how God working in that. So, you know, God considers it a planting. He doesn't consider it a marrying. That's our view of it. That's our perspective of it. We feel the pressure. You know, you're trying to get your work schedule, your everything that you've got to get done, everything, all the obligations upon us, and you just get that buried feeling sometimes. Like, gosh, I don't even know how this is going to work out. And but God has planted those circumstances there for His good, for His purpose. And we need to be able to yield to the Spirit of God and just trust that and just know that God has set that there for Himself in ways that we may not understand. I would never have understood. I never could have understood how an agitated woman could actually end up being a testimony and then for the last 2 weeks literally be dying and never show a moment of agitation. And just die in peace. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God that does that. And I'm so thankful for that. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe. There's a lot of things that awe us in life. But very seldom do we really stop. How much do we really stop to stand in awe of the things that in the circumstances and the things that God puts us in or puts in play. We need to really consider those things. He follows that up by saying, commune with your own heart up on your bed and be still. I pondered what this was meaning, and I think it's probably very deep. But what I get out of it is, commune with your own heart. That is just simply be honest before God. As you pray, He's going and He's asking for some things, and now He's just being required to believe some things. And in order to believe some things, he's got to be honest with himself and his own heart and his own heart attitudes before a holy God and what God is wanting to do in his life. And to just be comforted by that and to be still in that. And to just give it to the Lord. We're going to see that built on in just a moment. Ephesians 4:26. Says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Very, very important that we give it to the Lord. The challenge there is that we don't dwell upon any on the circumstances that make us angry, or don't dwell upon the anger of those circumstances, but to rid ourselves of that. Be honest of that before God, and give it to Him. He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness in those circumstances, in those times. He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. That's my will. That's my way. That's my timing. I believe that's my praise. You think about sacrifices of righteousness. Those are good things, right? In application of good things. Some things that I wrote down as I pondered them and believe them to be, it is, as I say, not only my will and my way, but my ideals for His truth, my weakness for His strength, my sadness for His gladness. And depending on our circumstances and our troubles, this current one right now, it could be my parents for His glory. It could be anything that God wants. And we offer that as a sacrifice of righteousness to those things that He wants and that He's working. He's working in ways that we may not understand. I tremendously burdened with talking with, I think it was Janie about it briefly, but tremendously burdened for the caregivers of Sandy River, the pain and the anguish that lost people feel. They lost 5 people in roughly a 2-week period, and tremendously difficult. I was talking to one of the head nurses, and the staff it really tears the staff up. They've cared for these people in some cases for months and years, and it's just really difficult for them. And it's because they don't have this. They don't have this hope. They don't have this relationship. They don't have the indwelling spirit of the Holy God in most cases. There was a few that do and understand, but it's what God wants to do. He wants those sacrifices of righteousness and put our trust in the Lord. You know, one of the things that I pondered and I realized is that, you know, we sing that old song, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. And we're often critical of ourselves. I know I am. I'm probably my worst critic. Or sometimes we're critical of others. You know, I'm very quick to dwell on the areas of my life that I feel fall into disobedience, or we're quick to judge somebody else for disobedience. You know, I think of some of those nurses that come in. We had one nurse come in, the only male nurse that my mother had. And he had earrings and tattoos. I just felt very unprofessional, and I kind of quickly judged that and whatnot. But you know, I'm reminded here that it's not an obedience issue. It's a trust issue. We cannot obey if we do not have trust. We have to have the trust. If it's an unbeliever, there's no trust. There's no trust relationship. It's not going to be there. They're not doing anything wrong in that sense. If it's a believer, I talked to a nurse at one point who said she was away from the Lord. She was saved at a young age, criticized by some in her church for some things when she was a young girl, and some struggles and difficulties. She's admitted she's now not living for the Lord. And I was reminded that we need to be very careful. Be very careful. We're very quick to judge the obedience path. But the root of the issue is not the disobedience. The root of the issue is the individual and having to struggle with the trust. Even as a believer, we can do that, can we not? David here was battling with that. He had the voice of confidence. He knew he was, but it was an inward struggle for him. And those are the things that he's going to come out victorious in this. But those are the things that could go either way, can they not? It happens to me. I could become very bitter today. We all could become very bitter. I could look back on my life all the way from birth till now and be a very, very bitter man. I could look at my mother's testimony. I could look at my Aunt Arlene's testimony. And I could see two women who have every right, humanly speaking, to be very, very bitter to God and to other people, life in general, whatever. But they're not. They have a sweet spirit. They have a spirit that trusts in their God. And as a result of that, that fruit is strength to them and is peace to them. And we'll see that in just a moment. But just being honest before God and giving the sacrifices of righteousness in that trust relationship, just that trust, I trust. And you think about how easy it is to trust. I think it's very easy. There's times I stand there and I'm asked a question. And my response was to the nurse, I trust your best judgment. I just trust your best judgment. I didn't have any other choice because I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the experience. I just trusted right then and there that nurse, her best judgment. And that's easy. That was easy for me to do because it was like I had to. Yet at the same time, you think about it, it's very easy. The other is very easy to do as well. It's very easy not to trust. It's very easy to question and to doubt. And it's a very delicate thing that can only be guided by the Spirit of God Himself. And we need to trust that Spirit of God that indwells us. When He prompts us, and when He tells us we're doing right, when He tells us we're doing wrong, just to trust that and to yield to it, and that's where we're going to find the true peace. It says in verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now what's happened is David has asked for some things, and we've seen his confidence, and he's requesting help, and he's acknowledging these things, and he's being honest before God, and he's believing in God. He's believing in those sacrifices of righteousness. He's believing in that trust that he has in the Lord, and now he is about to receive some things. And he's going to receive several things, some ones that I've noted. It says that there be many that say, who will show us any good? But the Lord lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. I see that in darkness, God gives light. In his dark situation, at the time where he was feeling buried, God showed him light. And we're going to, and he's asking for that, and now he's going to receive that. We're going to see it. He says, thou hast put gladness in my heart. And I see that in sorrow, God gives gladness. And that's a position that we should be able to find ourselves in. And then thirdly, in the battle, because remember, he is in the midst of a spiritual battle, a struggle within his own self. In the battle, God is going to give him peace. He says in verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We see peace, we see rest, we see safety, and you know, there's a lot of people fighting and yearning and struggling for these things. That's what we want. People turn to the wrong things to get them, but that's everybody's desire. If we're truthful about everything, we all want peace. We all want rest. We want to be able to dwell in safety, but We so often reach to the wrong sources for that. But here we see his hope. We see his hope. And he had the hope of Christ in his life. And he was able to receive these things. And he received them with gladness of heart. He received them, I believe, thankfully. And the lessons that we can learn from him, his prayer, his plea here, I think are great. The circumstances of our life may not change. We will not be able to do anything about them, most likely. But we can change. When we go through that struggle, that spiritual struggle within, before God, and being honest with ourselves and with God, realizing that it's really all about between me and God. Circumstances are going to always be. There's always going to be troubles. There's always going to be people. There's always going to be things that will discourage us, that will try to tear us down, willingly or unknowingly. Either way, there'll always be these sons of men. That's going to be a factor that we will have to contend with for all. But through it all, his light upon those circumstances is what we desire. And this has been an encouragement to me in these days, and I just wanted to share that with you this morning. Trust that. I hope it will be an encouragement to you as well. But, just to trust God, to trust his will, his way, and he'll give his blessing in his time. Attention, and let's go ahead. Mike, I'm going to ask you to close in prayer, and then we'll be